Jesus says in these words that he is the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to have the forgiveness of sins. He's the only way to escape the wrath to come, eternal judgment. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'd like to preach on that text tonight. Now, most of us, if not all of us, have been to a funeral before. Perhaps some of us have been to quite a lot of funerals in our time. And you'll know that what's often read out in funerals is the Bible. No matter whether the person was a believer or an unbeliever, it's rather interesting. It's amazing to me that many people who never wanted anything to do with God, once they've passed away, the Bible is showered over them, like possibly like a magic charm. One of the passages which is frequently read is this one. You know the passage, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And friends, it's often implied, isn't it, in funerals. You may have been to those funerals where the person has been an unbeliever. And this passage is read out. And it sort of implies that that's where the person is now. You don't have to worry, be at peace. The person's in a mansion in heaven. Isn't God nice and God is love and God's taken them? And though they didn't follow Jesus, he's taken them to be in heaven. And they're in a mansion in heaven. Friends, that's not what this passage is saying, is it? Who is Jesus talking to? Jesus is talking to his disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is somebody who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, I prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, and this is what you're going to experience when you die. Friends, this isn't the experience of everyone. I hope we know that. Friends, not everyone is going to heaven. What's so damaging to me about when this passage is used at funerals is that it's read to imply that everybody present need not worry too much about where they stand with God. That if the person didn't follow Christ and they've passed away and they're in heaven, you can be assured that you'll follow them when you die. You'll go to heaven too. And friends, terrible men misuse the Bible like this. And it's happened many times. It's happened in Great Britain many, many times over this past year. As though unbelievers are ushered straight into the loving presence of God. It's not true, friends. I've come tonight, friends, to show you that there's only one way. Only one way, because Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one, listen to that, no one comes to the Father except through me. How on earth can we hope to get to God the Father if we don't go to him through Jesus Christ? Is Christ lying? Of course not. Christ is telling the truth because he is the truth. So we're going to look at what this says today, friends, because what Jesus says here in verse 6 sums up who goes to heaven and how you get there. That's what it's saying. So first point, Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. I can say this on the authority of the Bible because that's exactly what Jesus says. He says, I am the way. Meaning, I'm the only way. I'm the only way. Do you believe that, friends? Are you following him as your way today, this evening? Or would you call him a liar? I watched a really good film recently. See if you can guess what it is. Seen it many, many times. It's a great film. It's a classic. It was made in 1939. It starred a young female actress who was about 17 at the time. It was one of the first films to be in color. Had a few songs in it. It was a musical. Anyone know what it is? The Wizard of Oz. Yes, The Wizard of Oz. Fantastic movie. If you've never seen it, well worth watching. Still an excellent production featuring the late Judy Garland, poor soul. Tragic. If you've never read about her story, it's a tragic story, the life of Judy Garland. Well, in The Wizard of Oz, there are a few songs. There's Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I am the worst singer ever. My mum, my sister, they cannot stand my voice. So I need to be careful with this. But there's one song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. It won the best at the Oscar that year for best song. And she sung it wonderfully, didn't she, if you've seen the film? Really wonderfully. There's the song, If I Only Had a Brain, If I Only Had a Heart, because the Tin Man doesn't have a heart and the Scarecrow doesn't have a brain. And then there's another song. Follow the yellow brick road, follow the yellow brick road, follow the yellow brick road. Very catchy. And why is this said to Dorothy? She's told to follow the yellow brick road. Why is she told to follow the yellow brick road? Because she's been whisked off from Kansas and she's been taken into the land of Oz. And she wants to go home. And the only way she can go home is if she asks the wizard how to get home. But how does she get to the wizard? Well, he's in the Emerald City. To get to him, you need to follow the right path. You need to follow the yellow brick road, Dorothy. Follow the yellow brick road. Now, imagine if Dorothy had said, well, I don't like the color yellow. She would never have got to the wizard. And she would never have been able to return home. She had to follow the right path, friends. And isn't this a wonderful illustration of what Jesus is saying here? If you want to get to heaven, you have got to follow the right path. It's not multiple choice. Jesus doesn't say he's a way. He says he's the way, the only way. Friends, imagine you wanted to head off to Sydney, Australia. And you had this sort of attitude, I'm just going to start driving. That's my method. I'll randomly turn left, and then I'll turn right, and then I'll turn left, and I'll turn right, and I'll turn left and right all the way. And hopefully, I'll get to Sydney, Australia. Well, would it work? If you told that to someone, they'd probably say something like this. You are seeking to go to Sydney, Australia, and all you have is your car, but you don't have a map, you don't have any directions, you have no sat-nav, you don't even know the way, and you refuse to ask anyone how to get there. My friend, you are a fool. That's what that person would say. And you're rather arrogant as well, because you suppose that you can get there without knowing the way. You don't want to ask anyone for the way. Friends, this is precisely the stupidity of people who assume that they can get to heaven any other way other than through Jesus Christ. He is the yellow brick road. He is the only way to God the Father. Friends, again, using the illustration of Sydney, Australia, it's very, very, very far away. It's on the other side of the world, isn't it? Do you know where God is? Do you know where God is? He doesn't live here. He lives in heaven. I know he dwells in his church, but God the Father lives in heaven with his Son, Jesus Christ, sitting at his right hand. And friends, if you went to the end of this world, you'd never find God the Father. And if you went to the furthest star, you'd never find God the Father. And if you went to the farthest reaches of this universe, you still wouldn't find God the Father. Why? Because he doesn't live here. He lives in heaven. Now, don't you think that if you want to get to God the Father, and only he knows how to get to himself, don't you think you should listen to him about what he says about how to get to him? Don't you think you should hear his word? Well, we have here the Bible, and how it tells us how we can get to God. God has breathed into this book, and he sent his Son, Jesus, to tell us exactly how to get to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the pathway. I am your yellow brick road. I am your way. Who else are you going to ask, friends? You say, oh, I wouldn't mind going to heaven. I certainly don't want to go to hell. But who else are you going to ask about how to get there? Friends, be very, very, very careful about listening to people who don't know what they're talking about. There are many people like this. Take, for example, the Sikh religion. The Sikh religion says that the way to God is to repeat God's name again and again and again and again and again and again, a million, billion, trillion times in your life. And maybe, hopefully, one day, you'll get to God. Maybe. But has anyone ever been to God in the Sikh religion? No. Not even their gurus have found God in the Sikh religion. What hope has an idiot like me got of finding God if they haven't in their religion? What about Islam? Islam basically says, well, you get to God, we hope, we think, by being a good person. We've got bad deeds, of course we've all got bad deeds, but your good deeds outweigh the bad deeds. So make sure you've got a lot of them. Make sure you've got a lot of good deeds. And God on Judgment Day, because Muslims believe in a Judgment Day and they believe in a hell, God on Judgment Day will use the weighing scales. And if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, God is going to let you into heaven. There's a chance in Islam that you won't be cast into hell. But friends, how do you know you've ever done enough good? How do you know? Has anyone in Islam ever come back to tell you this is the way? No. But Jesus was with God the Father for all eternity. And he was with God the Father all the time until he came into this world. And he says, I've been there. I've been there. And I'm the way. You want to get there? You've got to follow me. Friends, imagine the situation. You want to get to a friend's house, and this friend that you've got, no one else knows. Who are you going to ask about how to get to their house? Are you going to ask the random person outside, or the random person out here, or there? No, you want to ask that person. The person whose house you're going to. You want to ask them how to get there. It would be absurd to ask somebody else. But friends, people will try and deceive us. And people will try and make us think, oh, don't worry about this. Don't worry about this Christianity stuff. Don't worry about this God in heaven stuff. Listen. There's so many ways to God. Pick whichever one you like. It really doesn't matter. Friends, that is more foolish than the idea of traveling to Sydney, Australia, randomly going right, left, right, left. It's got no foundation whatsoever. People have no authority when they say that. But this man, Jesus, spoke with authority, and this is the word of God, and we better listen to it. Don't listen to these people who tell you that there's many other ways. Don't listen to anything other than what the Bible says, because this is God speaking to us. Friends, one more illustration here. You've heard the saying, it's my way, or it's the highway. And God is saying this evening, it's my way or it's the highway. And the highway in God's economy is fierce. And you do not want to go on the highway. So, are you following the way? Are you following Jesus Christ today? You can do. You can choose tonight to follow him for the rest of your life, and you will wake up the moment you've died in paradise. That is the promise of Scripture. Let's look at what Jesus says here when he says he's the truth. I am the truth, similar to the way, the only truth there really, really is. Now, friends, we are living in a country which is heading towards postmodernism. And this is a problem. What is postmodernism and why is it a problem? Postmodernism is basically a way of thinking which declares that there is no absolute truth. You can't be sure of anything. And if we can't be sure of anything, then what you believe? And what you believe, and what you believe, and you believe, is all just as valid. They may be completely different. They may have no grounding whatsoever on fact or proof or evidence. But they are all equally valid. Let me prove this to you, friends. A group of postmodernists were listening to some really awful music. really vile music, modern music, really disgusting language. It was an experiment, you see. And then people said to the postmodernists, what do you think of that? And they said, well, we wouldn't show it to our children. But who are we to judge? And that's the postmodernist attitude. Who are we to judge? There's no absolute truth. Everyone has a right to believe exactly what they want, because there's no absolute truth. Who am I to judge? And friends, remember this statement. This sums up where Britain is heading. You have your truth. I have mine. And don't try and change my views. My views are just as valid as yours. Well, friends, that smacks right in the face of what the Bible says. But we will still declare what the Bible says because we know that it is the truth. Jesus said he is the truth. And postmodernism cannot be right because Jesus says there is an absolute truth and I am that absolute truth. You find me, you find the key that unlocks the universe. Amen. Take Richard Dawkins as another example. I'm not here to condemn Richard Dawkins or anything like that. I'm sure if I had a chat with him, I'm sure he's a nice guy in lots of ways. And interestingly enough, he's not a postmodernist. Did you know that? Richard Dawkins is more like a modernist because he believes there is truth. Richard Dawkins, however, believes in a different truth to the one we believe in. He believes that truth is what can be proved scientifically, or what he thinks is proved scientifically. And it's very interesting that he's so convinced about this, that he goes here, there, and everywhere trying to convince people that he and others who believe like him are right. That's why he doesn't like Christianity very much. That's why he doesn't like Islam very much, because his view has no space for a God. But at least he's basing his view on what he believes is scientific evidence. At least he believes in a truth. The truth for him, evolution. You know, you might have seen him, if you've seen videos of him, he does say, you know, people say, why have you ever thought about the implications of this for people at funerals, you know, and people who are hurting, the fact that you're saying there's no God. And he says, well, okay, but it is the truth. He believes there's no God, so he says it is the truth. So he does believe in the truth, and the truth for him is evolution. Is he right, friends? Well, let's ask the wisest man who ever lived. Let's ask Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, yes, there's a truth. Of course there is. But it's not evolution. And it's not the kind of thinking that has no time for God. The truth is me. I am the truth. I am the key which unlocks this universe. Friends, do you know the truth? Do you know the truth? You see, as much as this country is moving towards a postmodernist sort of attitude, you have your truth, I have mine, still many people are convinced that there is one truth, that there is one absolute truth. The problem is, many people don't know where to go to find it. Christianity and Christ have the answer, because we declare Jesus Christ is the truth. You find him, you find what this universe is all about. Do you know him? Do you want to know him? You can know him tonight. Jesus, you're the truth. Please make yourself known to me, even in my life. Well, friends, let's look at the third statement Jesus says. He says, I am the life. What a marvelous thing that is to say. Who on earth would dare say that? Only someone who really is the life. How many people have you known who've ever come up to you and said, I'm the life, by the way. Trust in me, you'll have life, real life. No one has ever dared such a stupid thing, because it would be stupid if anyone else uttered it. The only man who ever had the right to utter it was this man, Jesus, because he is the life. What, after all, is the meaning of life, friends? All of us have contemplated that at some point, haven't we? Scientists have tried their best to come up with what's the meaning of life. People are asking us this question left, right, and center, and they're saying, if anyone has the answer, it's you guys, the scientists. What's the meaning of life? We're desperate here to know why we're here. Science hasn't got an answer. Stephen Hawking, brilliant mind, has spent his life pretty much trying to find a theory of everything. One theory which explains this universe, which explains the meaning of life. Has he done it? No. And he's never going to do it. Friends, the meaning of life isn't a formula. It's not an equation. It's not found in science. It's found in a person, Jesus Christ. He says, I am the life. This isn't the only instance that he says this. In John chapter 10, he says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Oh, this man brings life. He really does. In John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Friends, this is a man making some wild statements. Dare you believe him? I believe him. Do you? Do you trust in this man? I tell you, if you come to know Jesus, you will come to know what it's all about, won't you? You will come to know he who is the meaning of life, friends. This is Jesus Christ. You know, very, very sad that people who don't know what the meaning of life is, they go off in all directions. They latch onto something. We have to latch onto something. We have to latch onto some kind of meaning, friends. Take those who love football and their football team. I know a man, dear man, he loves his football. Oh, Lord God, if you ever took football away from this man, he wouldn't know what to do with himself. He lives for his football. What about love? I said I was going to get married, didn't I? Please excuse my that then. But that's what people love. Love is the way. All you need is love, said the Beatles. All the films paraded around people these days. What you need is love. The Notebook, for example. Titanic. Is that a love story or what? What you need is love. And unless you've got it, you've not found the meaning of life. What you need is a person to connect with. And unless you've got a person to connect with, you're a loser. You've not found the meaning of life. That's the message. Basically. How about money? People who don't know the meaning of life, they latch onto money. Money will make me happy. There's a film called There Will Be Blood, starring a great actor, Daniel Day-Lewis. He won the Oscar for it. And it's a film about how this man's whole life is corrupted by his desire for money. He loses his son, he loses everything, because all he wants is money. That's the meaning of life to him. That was his truth, that was his way. What about this one? Amongst the young people of today. You only live once, so try out everything. That's a big message today, hitting the young people. Russell Brand put it like this. He's kind of an overgrown teenager, isn't he? My life is just a series of embarrassing events strung together by telling people about those embarrassing incidents. That's his life. That's the meaning of life. Have as many embarrassing incidents as you can happen to you so you have more to tell people. You only live once. So try out drugs. Try out sex. Try out all these things. Waste yourself. You only live once. That used to be my philosophy, friends. You only live once. It's a philosophy of a lot of people my age. It's not the life. It's not the meaning of life. None of these things are the meaning of life. They are merely substitutes of the real meaning of life. The meaning of life, friends, is Jesus Christ. Do you know Oscar Wilde once said these words? The rarest thing in all the world is to live. Most people just exist. Is that you today? Is that you today? Do you just exist? And that is all. You don't live. You don't know what life is all about because you've never met this person, Jesus Christ, who is the life. You can know him tonight. Starting this night, you can get down on your knees when you get at home and say, Christ, I want to know you who are the life. Give me real life. Need to look at one more final thing. Please excuse me a moment. Absolutely no one. Absolutely no one. At all. will ever go to heaven if they don't come to God through Jesus. No one. Do you hear those words? No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. It doesn't matter if you're Mother Teresa. If Mother Teresa never went to God through Jesus, she's not in heaven. It doesn't matter if you're the Dalai Lama, friends. If he doesn't go to God through Jesus, he's not going to heaven. Name anyone you like. The Queen, whom I prayed for. I do pray God would have mercy on the Queen. God save the Queen. But if she doesn't trust in Jesus, she's not going to heaven. The President of the United States. Name anyone you like. David Cameron, Nick Clegg, Alice Cooper, John Bon Jovi, Ozzy Osbourne, Stephen Hawking, Stephen Fry, Cheryl Cole, Simon Cowell, Cameron Diaz, Kate Middleton, Kylie Minogue. All these people are not going to heaven unless they come to God through Jesus. He is the only way there is. No one comes to the Father except through him. No one. One way. Why? Why is he the only way? Someone might ask. Why is he the only truth? How can he have the audacity to say he's the life and the only way? Why aren't there many ways? Friends, it's because of this. Only he died for sinners. We have sinned against an almighty God. We have no idea how almighty this God is. This God is the creator of the universe. Have you ever looked at the stars? Have you ever gazed up close at them? How magnificent they are. The sun is one massive ball of fire. And the sun is just a tiny little star compared to some of the other stars in this universe which God has created. This is a mighty God we're talking about, friends. The Bible says he looks at the world and all the nations are before him as simply just a little drop in a bucket. Just a little, there's the nations there. This is an incredibly mighty God, friends. And yet we have dared to sin against him. We have dared to lie. We have dared to cheat people. We have dared to deceive people. We have dared to commit adultery. We have dared to kill people, some people in this world. And if we haven't killed people, oh, we haven't gone that far. But we've hated people, haven't we? We've had unforgiveness in our hearts, bitterness towards people. Not forgiving people as God in Christ forgave us. We've been covetous. We've sought after materialism and material possessions. Paul calls materialism, might interest you to know this, Paul calls it idolatry in Colossians. Living for stuff. What can I get my hands on? Envying someone else who has better than yourself. This is sin, friends. Oh, but don't forget the biggest sin. Don't dare forget the biggest sin, friends. You know what the biggest sin is? The first four commandments focus on how we treat the being of God. And the biggest sin in the world is to say, I can manage my life without God. I don't need God. That's the biggest sin. That is the biggest sin there is. There's no greater sin than that. And the fact is, everyone who is born into this world commits that sin. Some of you here today, yet again, have committed that sin today. You haven't come to Jesus. You don't want anything to do with God. And God is patient with you. He has the power to cast you into everlasting destruction before the presence of his mighty angels. But he doesn't do that. He keeps you on this earth for one day more, maybe one night more, just to hear the gospel. That maybe you might be saved. Maybe. Friends, we have absolutely no idea how great our sins are before this incredible God. And we deserve his judgment. We deserve his, there's an old-fashioned word, damnation. I think it's a shame it's not used today. It's a horrible word, but it does explain the fierceness of God's wrath. Damnation. We deserve damnation from God. Eternal judgment. Do you know what God did? He sent a Saviour to die in our place. A perfect, innocent Saviour to die for sinners. We read in the Bible that Christ didn't just die for sinners, He became sin. He became a curse before God. We read in the book of Isaiah, it's the Lord who's laid the iniquity, the sin of us all on Him. We read in Isaiah, it pleased the Lord to crush Him. Why? Because He was dying as if He were a sinner, as if He were all of us before Almighty God. And God punished Jesus Christ for our sins. He died for our sins, friends. Do you know what? I was speaking to my fiance about a year ago about this. We were in Castle Amare. We were talking about the things of God and the gospel, and she said, you know what, I find it incredible. Some of you may hear this for the first time. She said, I find it amazing that God actually hated Jesus on the cross. Some of you may never have heard that before. Yes, He was God's only beloved Son, but God forsook Him. God turned His back on Him and God cursed Him. And God punished Him. And God hated Him for us that He might not hate all of us forever, friends. Do you understand the message of the gospel? Do you understand why Jesus is the only way, the only truth and the only life, and why no one can come to God except through Him? You have a choice. Those of you who don't know Christ and you know exactly who you are, you have a choice. It's either the cross and Christ, or it's your own way, which in God's economy is the highway of judgment. And friends, you can either trust in Christ and come to Him and receive the forgiveness of all your sins. Imagine that. What does the world want? It wants the forgiveness of sins. If someone came up to you and said, here's a magic potion, you drink it, it washes away all your sins, would you buy it? And yet here's a man, Jesus, who without cost, without us paying, He went to the cross and He offers us the forgiveness of all our sins. All we need to do is look to Him and trust in Him and determine in our hearts to follow Him. That's all we need to do. And we get the full forgiveness of all our sins. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just peace with God through the Lord. I have peace with God through the Lord. I want you to have peace with God through the Lord. I want you to. And I want all of us here to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that tonight? Can you say, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say, I've had all my sins completely forgiven? What an amazing thing. Wouldn't it be amazing to start off your life, young sir, knowing that you have the forgiveness of all your sins, living a life which honors God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be amazing? I wish I'd come to Jesus sooner than I did when I was 19 years old. How can anybody reject this amazing gospel message? So there's your choice, friends. It's either the cross or it's judgment. And friends, I can promise you that you'll be on your face in terror by the time God has finished with just dealing with one of your sins, let alone the millions that you've committed in your life. Don't go to judgment. Flee from the wrath to come. Come to Jesus Christ. Friends, I wonder sometimes, I'll finish with this, I wonder sometimes whether people who don't know Jesus really know what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in Him. What does it mean? Well, I'll give you a little illustration. There was an old preacher, Charles Spurgeon, and he was seeking desperately to be saved. Won't someone tell me how to be saved? That was the cry of his heart. He was only 15, till eventually he went to a little church. And there was a man preaching in the pulpit. And Spurgeon said he wasn't a very good preacher. But he opened up a text, Isaiah 45, look to me, all the ends of the world, and be saved. And this man, Spurgeon was in the audience, this man just kept saying, all you have to do is look. All you have to do is look, see him on the cross, look there, see him. And then he pointed out, and he pointed to Spurgeon. He said, you son, you look very miserable, he said. You always will be miserable, unless you obey my text. Look, he said, look. And Spurgeon did. He looked, and he found out what it was to be forgiven all his sins because he looked to Jesus Christ, who was crucified for his sins. And Spurgeon, those of you who know anything about him, was mightily used by God in the last century. Just unbelievably well used by God. Why? Because when he was 15, he looked to the Saviour crucified for his sins. That's what it means to trust. That's what it means to believe. You look. Jesus once said, didn't he, that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Israelites had been bitten by vipers. And God, Moses said, what do I do? These people, they've got venom in their bodies. How can they be healed? God said, make a brazen serpent. Everyone who looks to the serpent will be healed. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that all who trust in him will know eternal life. Jesus was lifted up. All you got to do is look and keep your eyes on him. Have you done that? Do it. Why not do it right now? What, is it so unbelievable to ask someone to do it right now? Do it right now. Why wait another day? Do it tonight. Get the matter sorted, for goodness sake, before you die. Because no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Amen.